Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. Nice to be with you. Now, on last week's program, I mentioned that some of us from Pilgrim's Covenant Church were planning on sharing the gospel at the WIAA boys basketball tournament in Madison the next day, which is now this past Saturday. Well, by the grace of God, we were able to share the gospel there. Altogether, there were eight from our little church which were able to join for ministry that day. We set up three large scripture signs in two different locations on the long, broad sidewalks. There are two of them leading up from the street to the facility in which the basketball tournaments are held. And then the other five of us handed out our gospel booklet titled From Death Unto Life. Now you can see that message, the message contained in that beautiful booklet posted on our website at www.pccmonroe.org. Although you can't see the setup of the booklet and the covers. But to summarize last Saturday's ministry, we gave out 1,200 of our gospel booklets to the predominantly young crowd and then gave another 100 also of another different tract. And we saw very, very few of the booklets discarded, just a tiny percentage, really, of what we gave out. And we were extremely blessed to know that not only did so many receive that booklet, which has a pretty substantial message in it, but also thousands of unbelievers saw and read our scripture signs. You know, in the midst of this deep and deepening spiritual downgrade we're suffering through these days in the church, and the corresponding plunge into wickedness in the world around us, it is just such a wonderful encouragement to take the gospel out to the lost. And I'll add, especially it's wonderful to go with the gospel to the poor, deceived young people of this world. We do this with the complete confidence that the Lord will bless this work of sharing the gospel. Now, I suppose many of you have heard about Rick Warren's completely unsurprising statement, which he tweeted. Now, I'm not an electronic guy. I'm kind of a Stone Age guy when it comes to, if I can use that expression, all of these things. And I'm not a tweeter. In fact, every time I hear it said that some guy tweeted something, to me it sounds so strange. But at any rate, earlier in the week, Rick Warren tweeted concerning the selection of the next man to fill the office of the Roman Antichrist. This is what he tweeted. Join me today in fasting and prayer for the 115 cardinals seeking God's will in a new leader. That was Warren's tweet. Now, as you know, very significantly, a Jesuit from Buenos Aires was selected in the papal sweepstakes. This we heard actually just before taping this program on Wednesday, which you're now hearing on Friday. So anything we decide to get into on this issue of the new pope and the selection of him, we'll have to wait until next week. I will say, from the little I know about this new pope, Barack Obama is going to like him even better than Benedict, since he appears to have a pretty strong streak of liberation theologian in him. I can tell you that after the announcement of the new pope was made, and you may know this as well, Rick Warren then tweeted, "Welcome Pope Francis, Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio." I'm not so good on these sort of names. And then he put, that was me, by the way, not Rick. And then he put Latin for, "We have a pope," which is what they announce on the square there in Rome when they have a pope, when they've selected a new pope. So Rick says, "We have a pope." And then he says, also, "You have our prayers." But as I said, Warren's tweet was no surprise. Hopefully some of those new evangelicals who were so upset at those of us who warned of Rick Warren a number of years ago will finally see that he is indeed a ravening wolf. But I suspect a good many of those new evangelicals probably joined Warren in fasting and praying, or at least in praying. And that's just the nature of new evangelicalism, not to mention the cult-like loyalty of the followers of those celebrity new evangelical ministers, Arminian or reformed. And speaking of reform, John Piper also had a revealing tweet concerning the picking of the Pope. It was also no surprise, was it, to hear that John Piper tweeted, "O Lord of truth and mercy, put in place a Pope most willing to reform the Catholic Church in accord with your most holy word." Now, what does Piper mean by a Pope most willing to reform the Catholic Church? Is he thinking of the sodomite mafia within the Vatican, which wields so much power? What is he thinking about? The rank idolatry, the blasphemous rituals? We think of first the Mass and so forth. Is he thinking of the ungodly yoking of civil and ecclesiastical power in the papacy? Is he thinking of the worship of a goddess or praying to saints, the issuing of indulgences, the perversion of the scriptures that the popes make with not only their doctrine, but the translation they use? Is he thinking of auricular confession, the veneration of relics, the anathemas of Trent, the horribly unscriptural ecclesiastical government of the Roman Church with their pope and cardinals and archbishops and bishops and priests and so forth? What is he thinking of? Is he thinking of this system of monks and nuns and so forth? The whole Roman Antichrist system of idolatry, blasphemy, and heathen superstition is filthy and rotten to the very core. This is the mother of harlots, the whore of Babylon, which has the blood of millions and millions of our brethren on her hands. There is absolutely nothing in the scriptures which teach us that popery can be reformed. Popery can only be exposed and contended against. Pastor Piper, the very office of Pope is an unscriptural, blasphemous, antichrist office. Now, just as a footnote to this story, a couple of months ago, I wrote an article titled, "What a Difference 6 Months Does Not Make." That was a follow-up on an article 6 months earlier, which Reverend Foster, Ivan Foster, and I issued, which was titled, "Of Ducks and New Calvinists." Now, those articles can be read at www.pccmonroe.org. They deal with a number of issues. The second is far more in-depth than the first. Now, all of the issues revolve around a central one. But I just want to say it's been the source of much controversy, this article. But the reason I bring it up is not to go back and start talking it over again and telling you everything in it. The reason I bring it up is that one segment of that article dealt with books sold to the Lord's people by Reformation Heritage Books. In the article, I warned about a number of authors dangerous to the spiritual well-being of the Lord's people. A number of authors whose books RHB sells, including currently over 20 titles by John Piper. And it has been absolutely stunning to hear some of my brethren, including ministers, defend the distribution of books by the likes of Piper. And even worse, on the basis that, for instance, Piper teaches some, quote, good things, unquote. Yes, it's been stunning. It's been heartbreaking. It's been patently unscriptural. It's been unbelievable. And it's been hard-hearted toward the vulnerable. I say, the vulnerable among the Lord's flock. This idea that, oh, well, John Piper, for instance, oh, he's so good on some things, so therefore it's fine to sell and promote his books to the Lord's people. It is not fine. It is absolutely not fine. It's in stark rebellion to the commands of God. Those who do these things are encouraging the Lord's people to sit at the feet of men and be taught by them, John Piper and others, even worse, as I think of the situation I write of in the article, sit at the feet of men like that to be taught by them. And are those who do this, I say encourage the Lord's people to be taught by such teachers, are they not guilty of just what our Lord warned against in Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Now, careening from one subject to another, I'm going to switch the topic to the hip-hop performer, Lecrae. For those of you who are not up on this, hip-hop artists sing rap. Hip-hop is a culture. Rap is the music, so-called, of the hip-hop culture. Now, these days, there's a growing number of so-called holy hip-hop Christian performers who call themselves lyrical preachers. They're called by this, by others. They're accepted by many of the big names among new Calvinist ministers as so-called lyrical preachers. A man named Lecrae is one of the heavyweights among the hip-hop artists, and he's been a great favorite among the older new Calvinist ministers such as John MacArthur, C.J. Mahaney, and so forth, as well as the next generation of new Calvinist ministers and their flocks. Now, speaking of Lecrae, I want to play for you an excerpt from a video which has been provided to me. It's from the Grammys Show YouTube page. Apparently, Lecrae won a Grammy this year. In this audio, you're going to hear the double earring Lecrae, he's got one in each ear, speak about his stylist, that is his clothing designer. And he's going to make his boast that he can walk in two worlds at once. In other words, the Christian world, quote unquote, and then the world of which Satan is prince. And you'll notice that at the Grammy Awards, where this interview took place, Lecrae makes it sound more like he is first of the world, and so it is, as he speaks of being just amazed, it seems, thinks it's incredible, that he's able to be so accepted by evangelicals. Now, with this comment, Lecrae reveals not only his own heart, but really the philosophy on which hip-hop and Christian contemporary music is built. So let's listen to that.
Handsome. I try.
What are you wearing? Who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a custom Loren Spratz and Bon Lon, and done by my wonderful stylist, Chelsea Bearfield. So.
We were talking earlier about the role that stylists play.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, bringing your whole look together. How long have you been working with your stylist, and why is your stylist important to you?
I've been working with her for a little over a year now. And I think, you know, she's important because fashion is an art. And, you know, I do art, and I'm in musical art. But fashion is an art as well, and you don't want to, you know, kind of step on that or treat it as if it doesn't matter. You know?
Very true.
Absolutely.
Very true.
I loved his response. Now, when some of your fellow nominees and also fans were talking to us, they kept talking about passion. That convention, is it, when there are 10,000 young people?
Yes.
Right. Tell us
60,
about
60,000.
Wow. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. You know, for me, technically I'm a hip-hop artist, and so it's amazing to even be nominated in the gospel category because I'm a hip-hop artist, but I can walk in both worlds. And so to be able to walk in that world and ignite and inspire 60,000 young people is a wonderful thing, and then turn around and go do, you know, MTV the next day is crazy.
That's pretty amazing.
That was Lecrae at the Grammy Awards. James 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. But in truth, I'm afraid Lecrae is of the world, not of Christ. Now, as long as Lecrae brought up the issue of the Passion Conference, I'm going to play a very short audio from that conference, the recent Passion Conference, which I spoke of several weeks ago on this program. At that time, I played some of the rock music which was performed in addition to the rap which was featured at that Passion Conference. I also played the introduction that was given to Francis Chan and the raucous hero-worshipping reception the man received as one of the Passion speakers, along with others I named, including John Piper, Beth Moore, and many others. Now, Francis Chan is another new Calvinist, and he has a very large following, especially, even primarily, I would say, among the young. Now, I listened to a good segment of his Passion sermon, and it was enough to make a man shudder to know that this Francis Chan was preaching what he preached to 50,000 impressionable young people. Now, I thought you might be interested in hearing the very end of the sermon. This is Francis Chan at the very end of his sermon, which he preached at the recent Passion Conference. Let's listen to that.
And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy." These words are true. You and I are going to be together forever. You guys, endure it. Wow! Wow! Wow!
There you have it. That was Francis Chan, and that is the voice of New Calvinism. I'd like to close by inviting you now to read a response to a blog post by David Murray. He is a professor of the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. Murray's blog post is titled "Jesus, the Ecumenical Separatist." I tell you, Murray's article seems to me to be just part of a campaign to excuse Reformed ministers who are tangled up in ecumenical relationships. So long as such men say they're preaching the gospel, then they're given the right to set aside the clear commands of Scripture regarding separation. Now, we're to preach the gospel from outside, from without the camp of unbelievers and certainly apostates, not from within. The sermon I preached this past Lord's Day took up that situation and issue more in depth. This making excuses for ministers so that they can preach at these ecumenical gatherings and yoke with ecumenical groups. Oh, it's all to preach the gospel. I'll go anywhere to preach the gospel. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read David Murray's blog. You can read that yourself. It contains such terribly unscriptural statements and dangerous statements, I believe, as this. It's probably God's plan. Let me say that again. I'm reading from David Murray's blog. It's probably God's plan that some churches and ministers have a more separatist role in his kingdom and others have a more ecumenical and bridge-building role, unquote. Now, do you get that from the scriptures anywhere? I certainly don't. But I'm going to just encourage you to read a short response to David Murray, which was written by our brother, Reverend Stephen Hamilton. You can find that posted on sermonaudio.com/LVFPC. So it's sermonaudio.com/LVFPC. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening to The Heart of the Matter.